WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
When we think of a homemade quilt, comfort and warmth come to mind. Also, the love that went into the sewing of each patch and the meaning of the overall design. These thoughts crossed the mind of Cleve Jones, a San Francisco gay activist, when he first thought up the idea of somehow creating a quilt to commemorate the lives of people who've died of AIDS. Jones formed the Names Project Foundation and began publicizing his idea. That was in 1986. Today, the quilt contains thousands of stitched panels, covering an area the size of 3.5 football fields. The quilt is about to begin a 20-city tour. Cleve Jones has worked as a lobbyist and legislative consultant while retaining his prominence in the gay community. It was during an interview for 60 Minutes that Jones revealed that he tested positive for the HIV virus. I asked him about an incident that occurred soon after that interview.
Oh, I was walking down the street in Sacramento, California, where I was working as a lobbyist at the time, and two men approached me and called me a faggot and a queer, and beat me up and stabbed me in the back with a large knife. I came very close to dying, but fortunately I was the recipient of some of our state's best emergency medical care, so I survived it.
Did you dream up the quilt idea while you were recuperating?
Actually, I had thought of it prior to that, but during the recovery period was the time when I was able to put a lot of thought in it. I had a lot of time on my hands. And also, during that summer, it was the summer of 1986, my best friend, Marvin Feldman, was dying of AIDS in Rhode Island. And I think it was sort of the combination of the two experiences really required me to come up with some sort of new way of coping with this whole situation, and that was how the quilt was born.
Who were these people making the squares?
Well, in early on in the project, most of the squares were made by gay men in San Francisco for other gay men. But as word of it began to spread, we began to hear about quilting bees that were being organized in homes and community centers and church basements all over the country. In December, for example, I was sitting in the office and an older black woman walked in and looked around our office and asked a few questions and then left. She came back a week later with a piece of fabric on her arm, and it was a panel that she had created for her son. And she told me that her son had died 3 years before. But during those 3 years, she'd been unable to talk about it. She'd been unable to accept what had happened. And she gave me the panel and thanked me and said that she was going to go back to West Virginia now and clean out her son's room. It's the sort of project that, because it is not confrontational and because it is not political, it reaches out and crosses all sorts of boundaries so that people or organizations that one would not think of as being normally involved in the fight against AIDS find this an acceptable way to begin to get involved.
Did people with AIDS sometimes make their own squares?
Yes. Yes, that occurs regularly. We have people with AIDS who come into our workshop and our volunteers help them make their own panels.
And has it been hard for some people to part with the square after they've made it?
That's very interesting that you would say that. That is something that we hear over and over from people. And even friends of mine, people that I know personally, have made panels and then refused to give them to me for 3 or 4 months. I have one friend who is still holding on to the panel that he made for his roommate.
What did people use to make the squares?
You name it. It's in it. Some of them are very simple. People have taken what are obviously old bed sheets, for example, and cut them down to the 3-foot by 6-foot size that we use. Some are decorated just with the name of the person printed in magic marker. Others are very, very elaborate creations of embroidery or quilting. There's sequins, there's rhinestones, there's saffron Buddhist robes. Some of them have letters that have been sewn in, photographs, articles of clothing. We've received several that have been made up of the shirts of young men that have died, where their mothers or their grandmothers have sewn their shirts together and then embroidered their name on it. Others tell about the person's relationships with different people. Was this person a father or a mother? It's not it must not be seen as something that is restricted to people with artistic talent. This is a project for everybody. It's not a gay project. It's not an artist project. If you know someone who has been killed by AIDS, their name belongs in the Names Project quilt.
I know you often got letters from people with the quilt squares.
Yeah.
I keep thinking of the woman who apologized to you because she refused to hug her friend when he was dying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we get a lot of letters from people who didn't understand the epidemic when they first had to deal with it. And so we hear from mothers and fathers who rejected their sons and didn't reach out until it was really too late. We hear from sisters and brothers who were fearful and refused to visit their dying brothers and sisters while they were in the hospital. We've heard of people who have been prevented from holding their own children. And a lot of people are experiencing a lot of guilt and regret, and that this is one of the ways to work through it.
I understand that a few people learned of a friend's death by looking at the quilt.
I would say that's actually a fairly common experience. For example, in September of this year, as we were preparing to go to Washington to display the quilt for the first time, I myself opened panels for three former roommates of mine and learned for the first time that they had died just by opening the package that their panel came in. The quilt is divided up into sections, and it's displayed with fabric walkways that are integrated into the quilt so that observers can actually walk right into the quilt, find the panel that they made. We have a directory that lists all of the panels with a map that can guide one to the specific panel.
What's the atmosphere like when people come to see this quilt? And it's the size, I know, of two football fields back to back. What's the atmosphere like in the room when they're looking at it?
It's very, very quiet. In San Francisco, over 100,000 people visited the quilt, and you could hear a pin drop. There's no noise, just the sound of people crying. And we have a wonderfully dedicated crew of volunteers. We have about 500 people on our active volunteer file, and many of them have been trained to serve as counselors and monitors for the quilt displays. And it means really being very attentive to the needs of the people who come to see the quilt. Many people are overwhelmed by it. Many are unable to continue looking at it. And as you mentioned, many people do learn for the first time that somebody that they cared for very much has been killed by the epidemic. So we try very hard to be there for those people. We know that we've created something that is powerful, and it's a power that has to be used cautiously.
You've devoted all your time to this project, I know, and while it must bring you happiness, I find myself wondering what you do with seeing so much sadness and feeling that yourself. How do you handle it?
I cry a lot. You know, my life, and I think the lives of most of the people involved in the project, has already been completely invaded by this epidemic. I have been exposed to the disease. I'm HIV positive, so the odds are that within a few years I will probably develop the disease. And I feel that I at least know that I am doing the best that I can. There is nothing else I know to do. I'm taking care of myself, and I'm fighting back against the epidemic through the quilt.
Mm-hmm.
And out of that has come something of really indescribable beauty. And I think that the beauty of the quilt and the art of the quilt is something that really even transcends the epidemic. It may surprise you, but we also laugh a lot in our workshop. It can be very somber in there sometimes, but generally speaking, we're laughing, we're having a good time, we're loving each other and taking care of each other, and trying very hard to move on with our lives.
Cleve Jones of the Names Project Foundation in San Francisco. The quilt begins its 20-city tour in Los Angeles on April 7th. Also next month, Pocket Books will publish The Quilt, Stories from the Names Project. This is Fresh Air.